As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, April 24th, 2008. We would now like to turn the call over to 3M.
Good morning. This is Matt Ginter, Head of Investor Relations for 3M. I'd like to welcome all investors and analysts to our first quarter 2008 business review. You'll find this morning's presentation on our investor relations website at 3M.com. These slides will remain on the site along with an audio replay of today's call for an extended period of time. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on slide 2. During today's conference call, we will make certain predictive statements that reflect our current views and estimates about our future performance and financial results. These statements are based on certain assumptions and expectations of future events that are subject to risks and uncertainties. Item 1A of our most recent Form 10-K lists some of the most important risk factors that could cause actual results to differ from our predictions. I also wanted to mention that our annual Investor Day meeting, which will be here in St. Paul, will take place on September 9th. Please hold the date, and more details will follow. George Buckley, our CEO, and Pat Campbell, our CFO, will both make some formal comments today, and then we will get to your questions. Today is a very busy day, as many companies are reporting earnings, and I know you're all very busy, so we'll do our best to keep the call to about an hour. And you can help during the Q&A by limiting yourself to one question and one follow-up. We appreciate it. This way all questions can be fully addressed. So now I'll go to slide 3, and I'll turn it over to George.
Thank you very much, Matt, and good morning, everybody. Today I'll give you my views on the quarter and along with some comments on the rest of the year. In an uncertain economic environment like the one that we're experiencing today, we are particularly blessed by the global presence and strong, diverse portfolio that 3M has developed over the years. The investment we've been making in new products, in acquisitions, and particularly in strengthening the core of 3M is paying off handsomely, and it's these factors which have allowed us to do so well, even as we deal with the weak US economy and face the challenges of our LCD-based optical films business. So first and right up front, I should like to affirm our 2008 goal of EPS growth of 10% or more. The quarter was a tale of four principal factors. First, excellent performance in four of our six reporting segments. Second, slowing U.S. growth, as evidenced by slower performance in our consumer and office business. Third, superb international performance. And fourth, continued slowing of and margin compression in the optical films business. Overall, we had good results, with sales up 9%, bolstered somewhat by foreign exchange, and EPS up 8%. And we maintained margins at or about 20% or better in all of our businesses, even as we continue to invest in R&D, additional sales presence, a more efficient supply chain, and in acquisitions. It will surprise nobody that we saw consumer and office segment slow in the first quarter, and it finally mirrored the experiences seen by US retailers and other suppliers into that market. But we clearly have been taking market share in many important product categories. As companies in the US cut back in bankings, in airlines, in brokerages, and with the contraction in residential construction, people are naturally buying less of these types of products. The US economy, as we see it from our consumer and office perspective, continues to be slow in the end markets. Net sales in the consumer and office business were up 2.6%, while local currency sales were down 2.5%. Margins held in at about 20%, but we must expect that the consumer and office market will continue to be weak in the second quarter, and likely it will persist throughout the balance of 2008. Performance was helped by continuing improvements internationally, and I think that, given the tough US market challenges, that this was still a great performance by the consumer and office team. We may see some improvement as the current inventory corrections in the United States finish, but we don't expect this to be transformational. Our industrial and transportation business saw nothing less than stellar performance. Sales were up 17%, and profits were up about 15%, with the margins coming in at 22.6%. This great performance went right across the entire industrial and transportation sector. Like many other parts of our business, it has underscored the wisdom of our invest in and extend the core strategy. Along with international growth and our localization initiatives there, this focus on the core has been the primary reason we've been able to do so well in these tough market conditions. Pat will give you more details in a few minutes. Healthcare performance was also strong. Sales were up 12%, operating income was up nearly 20%, and margins approached 30%. New products continue to reinvigorate the product portfolio of healthcare. For example, we plan to release our digital dentistry system in higher volumes as the year progresses. Healthcare will continue to be one of those segments that receives targeted investments. In safety, security and protection services, the focus on the core business is also paying off there. For the quarter, we saw broad-based growth in respiratory products, window films, corrosion protection, and track and trace solutions. Sales were up over 13% in the first quarter, and profits were up 12%. We've been building this business steadily over the past 2 or 3 years, and even with the contraction in the industrial minerals business and no X factors to drive sales, we've still done remarkably well. The future looks very bright in this safety and security business, and the acquisition of Aero, which will significantly expand our occupational health and personal safety lines, received final European regulatory clearance and closed on April 1st. Our support of security agencies around the world also gathers good strength. Our electronic communications business continues to do well also. Sales were up more than 9% and profits were up over 13%. Overall, E&C showed great growth all around the world. New products, both those developed in-house and acquisitions, are driving that growth. We're seeing increasingly strong demand now for our ceramic core reinforced high voltage overhead wire product, and it is swinging into profit now, albeit small for the time being. We achieved this performance despite significant end-of-life contraction in flex circuits for inkjet printers. Display and graphics was clearly our biggest challenge in the first quarter. Sales fell by 6% and earnings fell by 37%, largely because of significant weaker dollar volume in the optical films business, which overshadowed solid performance by commercial graphics and traffic safety. As we outlined for you in December last year, our mission in optical films is very straightforward. First, we're establishing stronger working relationships with our customers, much as we did when we first built this business over a decade ago. By reconnecting with them, we will more clearly understand their needs as we provide them the solutions they need in a fast-changing, technologically-driven marketplace. Second, we are vigorously driving out costs and introducing new, cost-competitive films to deliver better value to our customers. And third, we continue to strive towards a profitable and sustainable business in a market with explosive growth potential. To drive this mission, we've installed new leadership in the Optical Systems Division. The division is now managed by Jim Bauman, who formerly led the improved performance in our automotive OEM business. In addition, we have in place new technical and manufacturing leadership. Importantly, we've moved the division headquarters to Asia to be closer to our customers and closer to the rapid innovation and change that is taking place in the set and panel manufacturers in this incredibly fast-moving industry. Over the last year or two, we have talked a great deal about the rapid rate of change in this market. The first quarter was no exception. And if anything, it was surprising how quickly the market moved towards commoditization in the quarter. These challenges will likely extend throughout 2008 as the flat panel TV market continues to transition to commodity products. We enjoyed the growth in this business, and now we are managing it as a transition to a business much more like the rest of 3M. But please keep in mind that this is still an enormous market with enormous potential for those who can get the cost and product structure right, just as we are doing. We're in the field sampling many new lower cost products that should win new converts. So despite being in transition, optical films remains a good business for 3M, a business with both good growth potential and operating margins comparable to those of the rest of the company. A piece of good news in this general optical area is the strong interest we are getting for our new mini projector with applications in many new areas. Because of the rapid movement of these markets, in a break from tradition, It's our intention to license this technology openly, widely, and quickly. It's in its very early days for this product, but we hope it will quickly become a fine contributor to 3M's overall product portfolio. So to keep things in proper perspective, we have very positive performance across our portfolio. Four of our six businesses are achieving double-digit profit growth, and one is a little softer, as expected, a true testament to the power of 3M's diversity and its recent investments. As I mentioned earlier, we're especially grateful for the 3M business model in times like these. Like all manufacturers, we are combating significant upward pressure on commodity prices, transportation charges, and energy costs. This has put pressure on gross margins, which we are fighting hard to resist. However, as you'll see from Pat's charts later, the reduction in gross margin this quarter is all attributable to optical. As you can well imagine, we're designing products that substitute lower cost alternatives, which takes time to do, and we're taking price increases wherever we can. So continued operational excellence is vital in these environments, and our focus on lean manufacturing, faster web speeds, better sourcing, and yield improvements are keys to success. Our balance sheet remains very strong, and we've just posted our 50th consecutive annual dividend increase, and our pension plans remain well-funded at around 100%. This gives us enormous flexibility on where to deploy resources. The supply chain initiatives continue at a steady pace with no hiccups in the transition. Just as our diverse portfolio contributed to our success this quarter, so too did our international strength. In the first quarter, two-thirds of our sales were from international and grew by 13%. China, Russia, India, the Middle East, and Eastern Europe are all growing between 15 and 30% annually, and we are very encouraged by the acceleration of growth in Latin America over the past year. We see this Latin American region as a major opportunity for growth. It's politically and economically stable, friendly to the US, and right in our figurative backyard. In 2007, sales were $1.7 billion, which is larger than China for now, and growing in the teens of percent with margins well over 20%. So absent the impact of declines in optical, the base business in all international markets remains surprisingly strong across the world. We have an unequaled global team and the presence, and they are hitting it on all cylinders. So in summary, challenges in optical and in the United States will be offset by other areas which are performing even better than expected. We're staying on the course of growth, prudently investing in our core and near adjacencies and in acquisitions. International will continue to be a positive factor overall for us. And as always, should the need arise, we will cut our cloth according to the size required. So now I'll end where I began. Our geographic and market diversity enables us to reaffirm the 2008 EPS target of 10% or more, despite the challenges we face. So now I'll hand the call over to Pat for more first quarter detail.
Thanks, George, and good morning, everyone. Please turn to slide number 5. All information in today's presentation will exclude special items. Recall that last year's first quarter earnings per share of $1.85 included net gains of $422 million, or 57 cents per share, from the sale of the company's branded pharmaceutical business in Europe, net of various other special items. Excluding special items, in Q1 of 2007, earnings per share was $1.28. There were no special items in the first quarter of 2008. As George pointed out, we continued our trend of quarterly records for sales, operating income, and earnings per share in the first quarter. Sales were up 8.9% to $6.5 billion, led by industrial and transportation, safety, security, and protection services, healthcare, and electro and communications. Local currency sales were up 3% in the quarter. Looking at the company geographically, internationally we drove broad-based growth with double-digit sales growth in Europe, Latin America, Canada, and Asia Pacific, excluding optical. Operating income was $1.5 billion, an increase of 3.6% over the same quarter last year, with four of the six business segments achieving double-digit operating income increases. Operating income margin was 23.2%, as all six businesses delivered 20% or so plus margins in the quarter. First quarter earnings were $1.38 per share, or an increase of 8%. Currency has gone in our favor for some time now, and in the first quarter was no exception. We benefit perhaps more than your typical multinational because of our significant international footprint. Two-thirds of our first quarter sales occurred outside the U.S., with an even larger percent of our profits. Currency added about 6 points to sales growth in the quarter and an estimated 7 cents to earnings per share. The earnings impact is indeed an estimate, as it picks up the positive elements of the weak dollar, but it does not comprehend the higher commodity prices we are feeling related to dollar-denominated commodities. So the true net earnings impact would be muted somewhat. In addition, as we have previously explained, we proactively manage currency gains to the extent we can. We have committed to deliver 10% plus EPS growth in good and bad times. And when currency is a tailwind, we work to invest the excess to ensure a predictable stream of future earnings, thus improving long-term shareholder value. Overall, I am pleased that we're able to deliver these results despite a very difficult U.S. consumer, housing, and auto marketplace, the softening optical business, and record-level commodity prices. As we pointed out to you previously, we expected Q1 to be our toughest comparison for the year due to our outstanding performance in last year's first quarter. Please turn to slide 6 for an in-depth review of the first quarter performance versus the same quarter last year. All information on this slide excludes special items. The story around the P&L this quarter needs to be separated into two pieces, optical and the rest of the company. As you can see at the far right of the chart, excluding the impact of optical, gross margins and operating income margins would have been better than last year, so our broad-based portfolio continues to perform as anticipated. Sales would have been up 11%, and operating income would have been up 12.2%. Optical, on the other hand, saw their operating income halved from last year and with a sales reduction of 16%, which results in the decline of margins but still well within our guided margin range for the year. As I previously mentioned, we delivered all-time record sales, operating income, and earnings in the first quarter. Now including optical, first quarter sales increased 9%, boosted by currency translation effects, with operating income up 3.6% and earnings per share up nearly 8%. Net interest expense was $25 million, up $15 million year-on-year, primarily due to higher debt balances. And finally, the first quarter tax rate was 31.8%, a decline of 1.4 percentage points versus the same quarter last year. This decline in tax rate is consistent with our goal of reducing our tax rate by 1% per year. The P&L on a sequential basis is found on slide number 7 and reflects solid performance in several categories. Sales were up 4.1% versus the fourth quarter. We kept SG&A relatively flat versus last quarter, and SG&A spending declined by 1.7%. With four of our six businesses delivering positive sequential growth, we leveraged this into a 16.3% operating income improvement. Operating margins improved by 240 basis points sequentially, driven by a combination of strong sales in our emerging markets and developed international markets and outstanding operational discipline. On a sequential basis, net income and earnings per share increased 14.5% and 16%, respectively. Now let's break down the components of sales growth for the quarter. Please turn to slide number 8. On a worldwide sales basis, we grew 8.9% in U.S. dollar terms, with international up 13% and the U.S. up 1.6%. First quarter organic volumes were up 1.6%. while selling prices declined by 30 basis points, and acquisitions added 1.7% of growth. Selling prices were negatively impacted by 1.1% due to price reductions in our optical film business in the quarter. Globally, we are aggressively pursuing price increases where we can to help offset record-level commodity price inflation. Global revenue growth was boosted by foreign exchange to the tune of 6% in the quarter. Internationally, local currency sales were up 3.4% versus the same quarter last year. Organic volumes increased 3.9% as five of six business segments posted positive local currency growth. Selling prices declined 1.4%, driven by a 14% decline in optical pricing. Excluding the impact of optical, international selling prices increased 30 basis points. Acquisitions added an additional 90 basis points of growth in the quarter. Regionally, local currency growth was led by Latin America at 15%, followed by Canada at 7% and Europe at 3%. The Asia-Pacific region delivered 0.8% local currency growth in the first quarter, which was negatively impacted by an 18% decline in the optical film business. Excluding optical, local currency growth in Asia-Pacific was 8% versus last year. As many others have already reported, growth in the U.S. was more difficult due to the slow economic conditions, with local currency growth of 2%. Organic volumes declined 2.8%, while selling prices and acquisitions added 1.7% and 3.1% respectively. First quarter business segment performance was a tale of two stories. On the positive side, we saw a strong growth of 13% in our industrial and transportation business, 7% growth in electrical communications, and 3% growth in healthcare. This growth is offset by sales declines of 9% in consumer and office, 5% in display and graphics, and 4% in safety, security, and protection services. Please turn to slide 9 for a review of our industrial and transportation business. This is our largest segment, representing about a third of our sales. And in the last quarter, its revenues grew faster than any other business. It was truly a remarkable quarter for this team. First quarter sales in this segment grew 17.1% to $2.1 billion. In local currency terms, sales increased 9.6%, including a 4-point boost from acquisitions. Our efforts to reinvigorate 3M's core is paying off in spades here. In fact, all of our largest core industrial businesses, including abrasives, industrial adhesives and tapes, automotive aftermarket, and automotive OEM, each drove double-digit sales growth in the quarter, along with personal care products, aerospace, and our oil and gas market initiative. Throughout 2007, we stepped up our investment in this business to strengthen our already unrivaled portfolio of core technologies. Through increased R&D and a number of bolt-on and complementary acquisitions, we have begun to transform our tapes, abrasives, and adhesives businesses into a legitimate growth engine for the company. And we're extending the core by expanding into fast-growing adjacencies, such as professional abrasive power tools and solar energy solutions. In our market-leading automotive aftermarket division, which supplies technology-based solutions to auto body shop repair around the world, growth was driven largely by abrasives, masking, and refinishing products. We also have effectively reinvented our abrasives division in the past year, driven by special application products for a dozen of industries, including marine, aerospace, wood and metalworking, and automotive OEMs. Geographically, we saw outstanding double-digit growth in every region worldwide, including the United States, with growth led by Europe. We're driving added market penetration in emerging markets as our industrial business continues to make significant investments in China, India, Poland, and Brazil. First quarter operating income in industrial transportation was $472 million, up 15.2%, with operating margins of 22.6%. Please turn to slide 10, where you will find the first quarter highlights for our healthcare business, which is a leading provider of medical, dental, and orthodontic products, along with drug delivery and health information systems. Healthcare extended its stellar 2007 performance into the first quarter of 2008. Local currency growth, including acquisitions, was 5.9% in the quarter, virtually all organic. Three of our healthcare divisions drove double-digit sales growth, namely medical, dental, and orthodontics, with medical leading the way. International sales growth was outstanding in Q1 as we drove double-digit growth in all regions outside the United States. Our dental business was recently recognized as the most innovative company in the worldwide dental industry for the third consecutive year by the independent publication 2007 Dental Industry Review. The award commended 3M's track record on innovation and is based on achievement in three categories: the number of new product clearances in the U.S. market, the number of approved U.S. patents, and the number of European and worldwide international patents. We also drove strong double-digit sales and profit growth for the quarter in our medical division, another 3M's critical core businesses. Recently, we extended our core offering in this business by introducing a transparent antimicrobial dressing to cover and protect patients' catheter sites. And of course, we're leveraging the 3M Tegaderm brand in order to highlight its value in the eyes of healthcare practitioners around the world. We continue to invest in our core healthcare businesses while pursuing strategic, synergistic acquisitions. In fact, we've added more than 10 acquisitions in the past 2 years. The team is working hard to bring new products and solutions that will enhance the patient experience and drive productivity for the healthcare professional. First quarter operating income in healthcare increased 19.6% to $321 million and margins of 29.8%. Please turn to slide 11 for a recap of first quarter performance for the display and graphics business. Since George covered optical systems in a fair amount of detail, I will try to be brief here. Sales for display and graphics were down 5.9% in the first quarter, and operating profits were down 37%. Operating margins came in at 21.5%. Positive sales growth in traffic and safety systems and commercial graphics were more than offset by lower than expected sales in optical systems. Display and graphics faced a traditional seasonal slowdown in our traffic safety systems business as the highway construction season obviously slows during the first quarter during colder climates. We also experienced some softness in the rebranding aspects of the commercial graphics business, which is not unusual to see when the economy slows. We continue to see strong demand for our on-premise graphics, services, and fleet graphics in commercial graphics. In projection systems, we have introduced some unique super close projection products and are scaling up production of 3M's mobile projection technology, an ultra-compact LED illuminated projection engine designed for personal electronic devices. George mentioned this briefly in his comments. Traffic safety and commercial graphics are highly stable, long-term winning businesses for 3M. So although slower growth in the first quarter, these will rebound. And we have some exciting new technologies in micro-projection as well. We obviously have challenges in optical in 2008, but rest assured we are addressing them aggressively, and we feel very good about the D&G business longer term. Safety, security, and protection services also had an outstanding quarter, as shown on slide 12. Sales rose 13.4% to $859 million. Local currency sales growth was 6.4%, with 1.9% from acquisitions. We posted strong growth in three of our four businesses: respiratory protection, protective window films, and cleaning solutions for commercial buildings, and corrosion protection. As a leading manufacturer of occupational safety products, asset tracking solutions, security systems, and building safety solutions, we continue to see exceptional growth in both developed and emerging economies outside the U.S. International sales expanded at a double-digit clip in the quarter, with equally strong contributions from Europe, Asia-Pacific, and Latin America. On April 1st, as George mentioned, we completed the acquisition of Aero Technologies, a global leader in the personal protection industry. Through significant acquisitions such as this, we have expanded our safety portfolio to offer customers a more complete personal protection solution, and we continue to see strong demand in this area. We also have seen continued growth in our corrosion protection and security businesses, which were both supplemented with strategic acquisitions, namely E-Wood and Security Printing Systems Limited. Based upon our advanced heat blocking technology, five 3M window films were selected to be part of an initiative to lower energy costs across the globe. The roofing granules business posted sequential improvement versus the fourth quarter. However, the business was still down slightly year on year. Being that sales in this business are predominantly U.S.-based, we continue to expect the sales will remain soft through the year due to the U.S. housing market. Operating income was $204 million, up 12.4% versus last year's comparable quarter, and margins were a solid 23.7%. Please turn to slide number 13 for a recap of our consumer and office business. Year-on-year growth in this business was 2.6%, with sales in local currency down 2.5% for the quarter. consumer office feels the pain of a U.S. economic slowdown more quickly and directly than many of our other 3M businesses. Recall, we began feeling it in the second quarter of last year. In the first quarter of 2008, business conditions were even more challenging, driven by slower U.S. same-store sales and further inventory drawdowns from our large U.S. retail customers. One bright spot in consumer office was our home care products division, home to leading brands such as Scotch-Brite sponges and scrubbers, where sales increased over 10% in the quarter, due in equal parts to volume and currency. In geographic terms, international sales were up almost 20%, following our focused investment strategy to grow this business. We saw a strong double-digit growth in Asia-Pacific, Europe, and Latin America, while in the U.S., where we derive over 50% of our revenues, sales declined year-on-year by 9%. Going forward, we expect growth in the consumer office business to continue to be led by our international operations, as U.S. growth will remain uncertain over the near term due to challenging economic conditions. Showing the strength of our relationships with key customers, we did earn some accolades from a couple of our largest customers. Target recently awarded us the Partner of the Year Award, and Staples recognized our Post-it team as the best category manager in the U.S., Canada, and Europe, the first time that a supplier has won the award in all three regions in the same year. Internationally, our team in Brazil won the Vendor of the Year Award from Sam's Club, and 3M Mexico won the Vendor of the Year from Walmart. Operating income was $166 million, down 7% year-on-year, but profit margins remained at near 20% levels. Please turn to slide 14 for an overview of our first quarter performance in electro and communications. Our solutions in this business connect the world's power grid, enable global telecommunications, and help to connect scores of high-tech electronic devices. Electrocommunications marked another solid performance with first quarter sales of $725 million, up 9.2%, and profits up $146 million, or 13.6%. Sales growth was led by our Electrical Markets Division, another critical core 3M platform that serves the electrical utility, construction, and maintenance OEM markets, along with our Electronics Markets Materials business, where we provide adhesives, fluorochemicals, and abrasives to a number of industries, most notably semiconductor and electronic assembly. Electro and Communications in total delivered 3.3% local currency growth in the quarter, despite another tough sales quarter in our flexible connectors business, where a number of product solutions are going end of life. In geographic terms, we saw solid double-digit growth in Asia-Pacific and Latin America, and single-digit growth in the United States and Europe. We have invested in a number of customer technology centers and manufacturing facilities in key regions around the world to serve our customers in this business. It is this kind of bench-to-bench intimacy that enables 3M to grow our competitors and to become true partners with our customers. The first quarter balance sheet and cash flow metrics are found on slide number 15. Free cash flow for the quarter was $699 million versus $670 million in last year's first quarter. Income tax timing differences negatively impacted free cash flow in the first quarter versus last year to the tune of $200 million. Traditionally, our free cash flow conversion in the first quarter is the lowest of each year due to historically strong sales in March and softer sales in December, which negatively impacts our working capital. Working capital turns were in line with the same quarter last year and down 0.4 turns sequentially. Foreign currency translation increased accounts receivable year-on-year by $289 million and sequentially by $150 million, and inventories by $200 million versus last year and $82 million sequentially. Capital expenditures were similar to last year's first quarter at $298 million, but down $93 million sequentially. Looking ahead for the entire year, we are now expecting capital expenditures to be in the range of $1.3 to $1.4 billion. From our previous range of 1.4 to 1.5. Dividend payments for the quarter were $353 million, and share repurchases were $510 million, both consistent with recent quarters. Weighted average shares outstanding were 717.2, down 3% year-on-year and 1% sequentially. Our debt-to-cap ratio was 33% at the end of the quarter. Due to the closing of the Arrow acquisition on April 1st, we did carry excess cash on our balance sheet at quarter end. Now let me cover our full year guidance, so please turn to slide 16. As George mentioned, we continue to expect 10% plus growth in earnings per share for 2008. While some elements of our portfolio have gotten more challenging since our last earnings call, namely the U.S. retail, housing, and automotive markets, along with optical, others are performing as good or even better than expected. And of course, the dollar's remained weak, which is helping our results as well. As previously expected, operating margins for the year should be in the 22.5% to 23.5% range, and our tax rate is expected to be in the range of 31.5% to 32.5%. We expect capital expenditures, as I previously mentioned, to be in the 1.3% to 1.4% range. Let me take a quick moment to remind you of a couple items that will impact our per share earnings in the second quarter. As in past years, we will have higher sequential stock option expense in Q2 than we did in Q1, as we grant our options in the second quarter of each year and must recognize expense on the date of the grant related to those employees that are retirement eligible. Second quarter options expense will be 3 to 4 cents higher than in Q1. Second, with the closing of Arrow on April 1st, we estimate we'll have 2 cents of acquisition related costs in the second quarter. That concludes our formal comments this morning. Now we'd be happy to take your questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before entering your request. Please limit your participation to one question and one follow-up. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question will come from the line of John Inch with Merrill Lynch.
Question around organic growth. The U.S. down 2.8%. George or Pat, what do you think the growth would have been if you folks had not been, over the past few quarters, putting in place your growth spending initiatives? I'm just curious how much you think your initiatives have driven this number. Is this still going to be something that's on the come in later 08 or in 09?
John, I mean, it's difficult to give you a precise answer to that question, but the new product vitality index that we measure is moving upwards about 2 points each year. So I think it's fair to say it would be impacted. I don't know that I can give you a number. Matt, do you got anything recorded?
Difficult to estimate, George.
So it's been positive, John, obviously, but very difficult to give you a precise number. Can we sort of make an estimate and get back to you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then just as a follow-up, I know that at the December 12th meeting, we had thrown out currency contribution for 08 of 5 to 15 cents. And I think if I parse Pat's comments, the 7 cents times 4 is 28, but there's higher raw material costs and so forth. So maybe it's 25 cents. I guess my question is that, that's 5% of the EPS contribution. Looks pretty good. But how are we thinking about, or how are you guys thinking about, currency potentially moving the other way? I mean, is that between that and pension, are those headwinds something that we need to kind of factor in here as you begin to look to 09? Or do, for instance, you feel like you have enough in the flex spending or other things to potentially offset what could invariably turn into some headwinds next year?
John, Pat here. First of all, we never bank on either foreign exchange or pension returns, kind of from a long-term planning perspective. We view those as being a little more short-term in nature. So we plan the business more around, kind of a steady state operational basis. So what we try to do is when we have the benefits of foreign exchange, and just to be clear with everybody, it is a difficult number to get your hands on. I mean, I can give you a technical foreign exchange number, but I think you're all well aware there's other more macroeconomic impacts that affect business results, volume, and so forth, that make it a little harder to come up with a good net number. But we're definitely seeing on the commodity side some significant increases that we're trying to, of course, address through price increases and the like. So what we're trying to do is, while the currency is favorable for us, is to continue to invest in our businesses
So as currency does move, which eventually it will at some point in time, that what we've done is we've got a better growth base in the rest of our, you know, the rest of our businesses. So that's been our, you know, that's been our strategy.
Great. Thank you.
Hey, John. John, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, Matt.
This is Matt. I wanted to clarify one thing. You know, we live in this world of instant information, so I've seen your initial report. For the benefit of everybody, we had a benefit in corporate miscellaneous versus the same quarter of last year. And I want to make it clear what that is. You know, this year our pension expense is lower, as we've told you, to the tune of about 2 to 3 cents in the first quarter of this year. And what we did is that whole 2 to 3 cents essentially is affecting corporate miscellaneous. The amount of pension expense we're charging out to our businesses is essentially the same. So that really accounts for that difference.
So Matt, what should we model as then the corporate number for the rest of the year, do you think, for the other quarters?
Something pretty similar.
Okay, a positive number then, or flattish?
Flattish.
Okay, thanks very much.
Yep, thanks, Joe.
Your next question will come from the line of Shannon O'Callaghan with Lehman Brothers.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Shannon.
You know, a couple of the targets we didn't get updates on. I mean, the 5 to 8% organic growth for the year. Are you still thinking that's achievable? And displaying graphics, given the tougher first quarter here. I mean, there we were looking for, you know, mid-single digit organic and 24.5 to 25.5 on the margin. I mean, do you have an updated view of those different targets?
Well, Shannon, I think in the current economic situation, getting to 5 to 8 is, a nice aspiration, but probably, probably unlikely. We're not throwing that away from a, kind of where we want to be, but I just think it's probably, unrealistic in today's economic world. And on top of that, with the situation that we're in with optical, just probably doesn't make that a realistic assessment. So, you can be guaranteed that we're fighting for every piece of volume that we possibly can in today's economy. But importantly, I guess, Shannon, I want to make sure that you don't connect. We're saying we're going to give you a 10% plus earnings growth. Don't tie that to necessarily a 5 to 8% volume growth. We'll get there without having that 5 to 8%, but that is clearly in our sights as what our objective is on a more of a steady state economic environment world. And if you get outside the U.S., our international performance remains very, very, very strong. So that piece of the business, ex optical for a second, I would say that we're still performing at the levels that are consistent with that 5 to 8% range. It's really the U.S. Impact, and it's the optical piece that is, dragging us down at this point in time.
And another thing, Shannon, we've talked about in the past, this is George, is a multiple of IPI growth, and we seem to be well in the hunt for that. So, we're not slowing faster than anybody else, even with the kind of headwinds that we've talked about already this morning.
Well, I mean, on IPI, I don't know what the actual number will come in at, I guess, in the first quarter, but, it's not going to be 0.5%, right? Or I mean, organic growth was like, 1.3 with price in it, but, and the volume was a little different. But, I mean, you're not going to be at 2x IPI, right?
Probably 1.5 of that order.
Okay. And the display and graphics margin target, what's the updated view on that?
Yeah, I guess, Shannon, you kind of have a very good question there. It's pretty hard to look at Q1 at being 21.5 and saying that our objective of 24.5, 25.5 is a realistic one. I think the best way to think about that business is to assume that Q1 will be probably indicative of where the year will run.
So just then the last one is help me to sort of then foot to the no change to the annual guidance in terms of margin. I mean, healthcare looks like obviously it's coming in better. I mean, where are the other big offsets given you already had a decent drag from display, now it's going to look worse. Where are the offsets to keep the overall year kind of flat to up 100 basis points on margin?
Well, I mean, you look at it, we're industrial, industrial's going. First of all, let's go back to what our margin expectation is. Our margin expectation for the year is 22.5 to 23.5. We ran 23.2 in the first, in the first quarter with optical, or DMG really at 21.5. So I think they're very consistent, that we, we can continue to perform at the company level where we say we are, and then continue to bring DNG down, because it's somewhat like, we ran here in the first quarter.
Okay, I'll leave it at that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Your next question will come from the line of Scott Davis with Morgan Stanley.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Scott.
Morning.
I wanted to approach the opposite of Shannon's questions and the outliers on the high side. I don't think it was a huge surprise, at least for us, that the rate of change in display and graphics was negative, but certainly a surprise that healthcare and electronic communications came in as strong as they did. Are there any, and let's just address maybe one at a time, but it wasn't clear in the presentation if there's any kind of timing issues that may have, mix or some timing issues that may have benefited margins in the quarter, or if there's something, or if that's purely volume-driven, and you're getting volume leverage maybe above and beyond what you've had historically.
Scott, there is nothing in either segment that is unusual that you should take away that there was a kind of an artificial impact on either one of those businesses. ENC just continues to perform very, very well. They've got a few businesses that are just absolutely doing gangbusters right now that are actually at higher margins than what their average is. So that continues to hold, hold them up. And really, healthcare across the board. I mean, healthcare across the board is just performing very well, both geographically and across all business segments. So, there's really nothing I would say is unusual in either one of those that Q1s and would be an outlier of what are, of what the future is going to look like for us.
Hey, Scott, it's George here. We said very early in my tenure what we were going to do is take the old traditional core of 3M and invest in and make sure it remained strong. It became a base from which to build the rest of the growth platform. And what we've seen now, certainly what we're seeing at this moment in time, and it's been progressively increasing and improving the past 2 years, we see, and Pat actually mentioned two or three of these in his presentation, we've seen wonderful performance, improved performance from abrasives, from the electrical markets division, which is in the ENC segment that Pat just spoke about. We're seeing it in industrial tapes. We're seeing an improvement and resurgence in medical, in the automotive aftermarket. And one of the businesses that we were struggling with terribly, which was the personal care division, which is the division that makes diaper tapes, is another business which is turning around. So what I think is turning out to be true, Scott, is the wisdom of investing in those businesses and bulwarking those to make sure that we had a great platform to grow from. So there's no reason at this moment in time for us to believe, unless end market conditions worsen dramatically, that we can't see continued either improvements or at least steady performance from those businesses. And it's so broad-based and in such a lot of the big businesses in the big divisions of 3M, and that's why you end up with, even dealing with this optical transition, why you end up with the good numbers that you do.
Got it. And I want to go back and talk about Aero a little bit. On the surface, the acquisition looked a little expensive to us. It's tough to tell. It's a bit of a unique asset, so it's hard to value from our perspective. But can you talk, now that you've had a chance to close the deal and have a few weeks and you've had a few months to do due diligence, are there cost synergies, any other kind of strategic benefits above and beyond what you talked about on the last conference call?
I guess I'll try to take it and see if George has anything to add to it, Scott. Based upon the feedback that the business team has had with them, I think they feel even better about the business, the opportunities, the very solid organization they have at Aero, the products they've got. Business has continued to perform, actually even above our short-term expectations. So everything thus far has been very, very, you know, very good. The integration planning has been just outstanding with them. So I can't say enough good about the relationship that we've had with the Aero organization thus far. And by all signals thus far, it's I would actually rate it probably a little bit better than we kind of thought when we first look at it. And Scott, I think the other thing is just keep an eye on where others trade, okay, in that space. There's been another company sold, okay, in that space that do your own assessment, okay, as to Aero versus them, okay?
Very expensive enough.
We actually thought both acquisitions were kind of expensive. we criticize the other company as well, so we're equal opportunity critics here.
that's good for you. Hey, one last point that I've heard is I've been traveling around internationally, Scott. We tend to, when we do the modeling of these businesses, Pat and myself tend to be the very serious critics of synergies, both in the cost area, but in particular in the sales area. And you know, over many years of experience of these sorts of things, it's a place where companies seem to consistently make mistakes. What seems to be transpiring, though, here in Aero, because they're relatively simpler products and they're so familiar and close to the kind of the OHGNS core that we've had for many, many years, there's a very high level of comfort in being able to get out those Aero products into the international markets and drive sales synergies. So, and of course, you can well imagine that Julie Bushman, who runs that business, Pat and I have set Julie some pretty tough targets. And so I think that if this thing goes anywhere near as well as we expect, then we'll see Betterment into the synergies. I'm not sure about Betterment into the cost end yet. In sales synergies, I mean.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Scott.
Your next question will come from the line of Jeff Sprague with Citigroup.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Jeff.
Just a couple quick ones. You covered a lot of ground already. I didn't catch it. Could you just give us your all-in organic read on Europe in the quarter, ex currency, ex deals?
Do you happen to remember that number?
Why don't you go to your next question, and I'll come back to it if that's okay, Jeff.
Sure. I've
got it. It's 1.7% would be the organic in Europe for the quarter. Which is somewhat of a slower, you know, slower growth rate for them versus last year's first quarter. And from a trend standpoint, I didn't talk about Easter. Okay, it does affect them in the southern, you know, in more of the Mediterranean, you know, part of the of Europe. So we do expect second quarter will be, you know, kind of a little bit better. So I didn't want to get into kind of the excuse game, but I still feel very good about. Europe. I think we, you know, we have our eyes wide open in Europe to make sure that we don't see a slowing trend there. But I know George has been there more recently than I have, and we still feel very, very good about the programs that we have in Europe. The Central East Europe, Africa, Middle East continue to grow at double digit. Rates. The story will be, you know, Western Europe over time. So we did see a slowing, but I used to tell you guys that any growth in Western Europe I always viewed as being a positive, and to some degree I still kind of view that from a plan perspective, and many of our countries have kind of proven me, you know, kind of proven me wrong there, and I'm glad they have. So I feel that we got a solid plan in place there, but we are watchful as to how the economic conditions kind of play out in the West.
And then, George, just a little further elaboration on your declaration, if you will, that optical has gone commodity. Was that kind of a BEF versus DBEF type comment, or is that a, you know, all-in kind of consumer preference comment? Can you just give us a little more color on kind of attachment rates and what you're seeing with the mix and how the competition is shaking out?
Yeah, I can do that, Jeff. In you recall, it's a four-segment business. It's the LCD TVs, the handhelds, the notebooks and monitors. And essentially, this particular story is really about LCD TVs. The handheld attachment rates monitor and notebook monitors, while they jump around a little bit, have largely remained okay, at least should I say stable. And there hasn't been, you know, the same intense pricing pressure in those markets, simply because the value proposition of some of these high brightness films is very strong because it helped battery life. In the so the whole game really is essentially down to the LCD TV market, Jeff. And you know the way that the bottom of that market has exploded, and of course the market in many respects is still trying to find bottom. It's trying to find out where's the smallest bill of material that it can get to with an acceptable performance for the you know from a set for a customer. And if other consumer electronics commoditizations are give you a lead, what might happen is once the bottom is found at the lower end of the market, if you think about sort of good, better, best, once the bottom of the pricing in the lower end of the market, Jeff, has been found, the bottom of the pricing in the top end of the market will be found. And I think that there's likely going to be some recontenting. There's some positives in the energy area. For example, 3M's films can cut in a small television a third of the energy usage, in a bigger television more. But in the end, that may not be a place that will sell you more televisions, but it might get customers to make choices left and right on a sort of a low energy versus a high energy set. So those things, I think, in the longer run, help us. What we are also doing, Jeff, is putting sampling a lot of inexpensive but still relatively high performing diffuser films into the market, so we can supply that bottom end of the market and get some more leverage there. And so I think that still during the 2018 summary, Jeff, we're going to see more turbulence in that market as the set manufacturers in particular scramble for share and they prepare for digital switchover. And I don't know if it's fully commoditized yet, Jeff. I suspect not. But I think this first bump is hopefully will have been the worst bump.
Tell us what your dental growth actually was in the quarter.
Just a sec, Jeff.
Dental growth, Jeff, was going to be in dollar terms. Dollar terms is north of 10% on a local basis, probably mid-single digits.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, if I could just, and I don't know if your question was oral care or dental itself, okay? Dental is, Matt's got, greater than double digit. The orthodontic business was quite a bit stronger than that, almost 25% growth in the orthodontic business, part of that due to an acquisition we had. But
combined oral care on an ex-currency basis, probably around 7.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Your next question will come from the line of David Begleiter with Deutsche Bank.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
George and Pat, good performance in industrial, but no operating leverage. Margins actually fell. Can you just comment or talk to that, please?
Thanks, Dave, because I actually thought they did
reasonably well.
Very well, okay. Based upon, having a low 20s margin in a mainstream industrial business, I think, is a very good, very good performance. Our objective in that business is not to grow margins, okay, as much as let's get the top line going. So if they can keep the top line growing the way they have, keep margins the way they are, I'd be perfectly, perfectly happy with that model. Now, I think you've heard from H.C. Shin in the past that he's got a lot of focus on operational excellence to continue to drive productivity, get cost out, reinvest back into the businesses. One of the things that that does hurt industrial a little bit from a margin standpoint is we have made some acquisitions in that space that haven't been necessarily at the same margin level that some of our core businesses have. So it takes a while to kind of build those those profit rates, you know, profit rates up. So, but I'm not at all concerned with the level of margins within industrial.
By the way, also, Dave, they're one of the units that suffers from commodity price increases more than anybody else. Consumer office is also another one. Everybody does, but if you wanted to sort of pick on a couple that suffer it most, they are there.
Understood, and thank you for the answer. One more thing, George. Mentioned about optical film still being a good growth business, referring to a new revised base, not from last year's base, correct?
Correct.
And what would that new revised base be, do you think?
Well, it's as I jokingly say sometimes, Dave, prediction is very difficult, especially when it concerns the future. The business is obviously shrinking, Dave. It's mainly shrinking due to two things: some loss of attachment, primarily in TVs, and obviously price compression. So I think we're not fully through the transition yet, Dave. And if you let me make that observation I made about a good growth business in the future, let me make it from a new base that comes up in 2009.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Your next question will come from the line of Dean Dre with Goldman Sachs. And Dean, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, Dave.
Okay, I just want to go back to pension and FX for the quarter, make sure I have my math right. And Pat, you said 7 cents from FX this quarter, and that was 2 to 3 cents from pension?
Yes, Dean, but I do want to clarify, okay, if I could. FX, the way we calculate it, is if you just literally take rate differences, you know, on both transactions and translation, and that's where you get the number. It does not pick up any of the other input-related impacts, okay, of a, say, a weaker dollar on commodity prices and the like. So it is probably an exaggerated, okay, example, okay, of what the real impact is on a, you know, on the bottom line.
And how about your assumptions for the year? When we look at that 10% plus, where would FX and pension combined represent of that 10%?
Well, I think
based on what you know today,
I mean, pension would be give or take 10 cents. FX is probably in the 25-30 range, but who knows? Depending upon where rates end up. So that's purely just taking quarter end rates and then assuming they stay that way for the rest of the year, which I guess your crystal ball is probably as good as mine on that one.
What are you using for your euro exchange?
I think it was 158 at quarter end, so that's what we would have extrapolated in our last forecast.
Okay, and then just a recheck on optical. I know we've kind of beaten this one, but the assumption for the absolute EBIT decline for the year as of last quarter would be down 50 to 150 million, and you were down 110 this quarter. Are you going to set a new range for that? Or, George, I think you're saying that you really won't have a sense for this until 2009.
Correct.
Well, Dean, I guess let me try to get at your I think where you're coming from is, December we kind of gave you a range, okay, for optical. I think that's where you're coming from. And, in the quarter here, profits kind of halved, okay, in that business. So we would expect that trend on a year-over-year basis will probably continue to play out, for the rest of the year here.
The same trend from the first quarter?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can expect similar downtrends second quarter year over year is what that means, Dean.
Henry, and if I was able to draw it for you, Dean, is, that business has been, of course, the profitability has been being reduced, okay, over time. So even during 07, if you looked at Q1 to Q4, it kind of went down. But so what we're saying is that, what we're down here in the first quarter, that delta will probably carry through for, most of the rest
most
of the year.
Of the year.
It could be by the end of the year it starts to, kind of tail off a little bit, but, that's anybody's forecast.
Okay. And then on the capacity expansion this year, just a quick update on, there were 19 new plants. Where does that stand? And I see you're also cutting capex. Is that related at all?
Not specifically. I kind of view that $100 million reduction kind of almost a little bit in the round. It does reflect, you know, kind of the economic situation, you know, we're in and so forth, as because if your growth rates, you know, do slow a little bit because of economic conditions, there's some things that we possibly were looking at relative to capacity needs and so forth. You can just kind of, you know, maybe push them off a little bit. So that's more tinkering, okay, at this point in time. But on the plants, if I recall the statistics right, Dean, we, out of the 19, we're scheduled to have about 13 of those up and running here by the end of the first quarter. The one that I think we've talked to you about in the past is Russia. Russia's the plant that we thought we'd have up and running right now. We still are struggling a little bit getting final occupancy permit for that, you know, for that facility.
It's just that environment, Dean.
And that's just the environment of Russia. So there's nothing that I would say from a operational execution standpoint that we're at all, you know, we're all concerned on. Everything appears to be on track.
In fact, what's actually been happening, Dean, is these plants have been coming in generally faster and generally lower cost than we thought.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean.
Your next question will come from the line of Stephen Tusa with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Morning, Steve.
Just a quick one on the dental side. Are you guys telling you anything about, you know, worries about the economy and the impact on growth there?
I think it'd be fair to say that there are some discretionary, you know, decisions that, you know, customers make about when they have dental work done. And as people get more and more concerned about discretionary income, it could affect people's, buying behavior. So I think it'd be fair to say that there's been some feedback that maybe dentists have started to see, you know, some, you know, slowing in, discretionary treatments and so forth. My counter a little bit is that it's hard to get into dentists at times as well, especially orthodontists, okay? So, the net, does it really impact you that much? But I think it would be fair to say that in a slowing economy, you will see some impact on discretionary, dental care.
Dental spending.
Right. And then just on the optical side, I'd hate to beat this one. Wish we could talk about something else, but it was,
so do we.
It was really bad in the quarter. And when you think about, you brought us out to the meeting in Minnesota and also in New York, and you kind of walked through and I think made people feel comfortable that you had, at least your hands around the situation to some degree. And you basically hit your decline target in the first quarter. Only a few months after you did that kind of bottoms-up review. I mean, what's getting missed here between I know it's a totally dynamic market and it's in free fall, but, what's getting missed here from the ground level up to, the executive office where you guys are just having such a hard time on visibility, totally acknowledging that this is a, very unusual circumstance?
Well, what's happening in the end market, Steve, the set managers, I said this a little bit earlier, the set managers, makers are scrambling for share. There's a reordering of the power base in the marketplace. The leverage has swung more to the set manufacturers than it was previously in the panel manufacturers or even the upstream manufacturers. And those dynamics are extraordinarily difficult to forecast accurately, Steve. They just are. All I will say to you, I'll pull you back to the other position, which is you have to look at 3M in its total context. In 3M's total context, the core of 3M has done so very, very well. It was able to overcome and surpass the challenges in optical, roundly. Does that make us feel better about how to predict accurately what's going on optical? Well, no, of course not. But what it does do is to make us feel a little bit more happy about what we can predict in 3M in total. So, when things begin to fall in a marketplace like that, when they have these rapid changes, Steve, it's very difficult to know is the trajectory down 25% a year, down 50% a year, and the end game error can be you know, significantly worse with one sort of set of assumptions versus another. All you can do is go to your customers, try to get the lead information, try to bring products that they want to mitigate some of these changes and bring value to the customer. And I started also by saying this morning, this is a business that we enjoyed the upside, and it's now transitioning, it appears, to be a business very much more like the balance of 3M, and that's what we currently expect.
Right. And then just lastly on the Forex contribution to get to your, you know, 10% growth, it was, I guess, 7 cents year over year. But doesn't the comp get a little bit tougher as you move in the half? So just taking the 7 cents and, you know, multiplying that by 4, I mean, that wouldn't seem to be the right math on that. And I'm just curious, because this is, you know, kind of a key aspect now of you guys getting to your annual target. I mean, doesn't that EPS impact get a little bit lighter as we move through the year?
Yeah, Steve, you're right. You know, exchange rates started to move, okay, more towards the back end, you know, back end of the year. So it's not as simple as just taking 7, okay, times 4.
So there's something else in the 25 to 30?
No, it also is a we also have to look at where our hedging situation is, okay? Remind you, Steve, that we hedge about half of our exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of on a year lag for about half of it. So on some of our hedges, when you kind of look at the back half of the year, kind of on a year-over-year basis, we'll be probably better off on those than we were in 07. So that's kind of, you know, what kind of, you know, probably evens it out a little bit.
Okay. That's great. Thanks a lot.
Good.
Well, in the interest of time here, we're going to have to close. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening, and we appreciate it very much. And we look forward to continued success through 2008. Cheers, everybody. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating. Mm-hmm.